Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Welcome to the Woman to Woman Show. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and it's a blessing and an honor to be with you on today. God truly is good and worthy to be praised. And it's just a great day to be alive. It's a heat wave, and we're just thanking God for everything that he's done and everything that he is doing in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to start with some music. I just want to praise God on today, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to begin to talk about how good God is and what he's doing in our lives. So let us go into the throne room with LaShawn Mitchell and begin to worship God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you. the worshipers join in. With all wisdom you reign, and honor, dominion, all power, Lord, you reign, Lord, you reign, Father, you reign, oh, Father, you reign.
Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, you reign. Lord, you reign forevermore. I tell you, that was for John Mitchell, and I just love that particular song of worship. Amen. Hallelujah. There's nothing like worshiping God. There's nothing like giving God the glory, giving him the honor, giving him the praise, because he is worthy. God is worthy to be praised. I'm telling you, I can praise him as long as the day is long because he is worthy. God has been so good to me. Amen. He's been so good to me. And I pray that you are worshiping God on today, giving him the glory, the honor, and the praise for who he is, just because of who he is. My God. Sometimes we are looking for God to do things for us, but God has already done so much for us. If we just would look around, the fact that we can see, my God, the fact that we can look around and see what's going on around us, the fact that we woke up this morning, and we still have breath in our lungs, my God, the fact that we have the movement of our limbs and, you know, that we can use our vocal cords to praise God, to give a testimony of his greatness, the fact that we can just be a light in a dark world, my God, when so much is going on around us. I mean, you think about all of the wickedness in the land and you say, my God, where would I be if it were not for you? How would I make it if I did not have you to hold on to, if I did not have you to call out to? So I thank God for Jesus today. I'll just make it plain. I'll make it plain. Sometimes we say God and the Lord, but you know what? We just got to say the name. I thank God for Jesus today. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the blood that was shed on Calvary to save a wretch like me. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. I was blind, but now I see. I just thank God, hallelujah, that he didn't see fit to leave us the way that he found us. Sometimes you just got to testify, and sometimes you just have to testify to yourself. You have to regroup and reevaluate what's really going on in your life, what's really going on. Yes, there are a lot of things that you can complain about, but when you really think about it, there's much more that you can praise God for. There's much more that you can say, hallelujah, anyhow. Yeah, the bills are due, but hallelujah, anyhow. The kids are acting crazy, but hallelujah, anyhow. I got a bad doctor's report, but hallelujah, anyhow. My God, I'm still single and want to be married, but hallelujah, anyhow. Well, how about this? You're married, but you want to be single, but hallelujah, anyhow. Having problems in the marriage, having problems on the job, having problems in ministry. But guess what? Hallelujah, anyhow. Still praise God. Praise God in the midst of it all. Praise God through it all. Praise God because of it all. Amen. Hallelujah. Because if you were not a threat to the enemy's camp, you would not be going through half the stuff that you're going through right now. So know that if the devil's on your case, if the devil's on your trail, it's because God is using you mightily for his glory. Amen. Hallelujah. So just go ahead and praise God. Shout to the Lord because he truly is worthy to be praised. Amen. I want to welcome you to the Woman to Woman, Woman to Man show. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I'm joined by my wonderful husband, Pastor Anthony Simmons, who will be coming on later on with the marriage moment. And, you know, the Lord allows us to come to this platform just to dialogue and talk to each other, amen, so that we can pour into you outside of what we do with church, amen. But we could come and we can talk, amen, and share what's on our heart. So we're talking about heart topics and heart topics on today, amen. And I haven't been here, and I'm glad to be back. I've had an interesting few weeks, and I literally have not been doing the show, but I'm glad to be back, amen, to be able to connect with you all again. And I'm here every Saturday at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, unless I have something else going on intercepts that time, amen. So it's just good to be here on today, praising God and giving him the glory. I want to open with prayer because it's been a while, amen, and I feel that somebody out there needs prayer. So let us pray. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you. We magnify your name on today. You are worthy to be praised. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast on today, the Woman to Woman show. I thank you for everybody that is assembled here on today. Each person, oh God, that tuned in, that called in, that clicked on their internet to come to the Woman to Woman show. And Lord, I just ask, Father God, right now that you would bless each and every person that's on the phone lines right now. Bless them, Lord. Bless each person in the chat room, oh God. Hallelujah. Father God, some places are dry in their lives, and I speak life to every dry place right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, there's some problems in the households, God, and I just speak your word over their homes right now, God, that you, Father God, will bless their households, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, send a fresh wind. Send a fresh wind through their homes, oh God. Send a fresh wind. Breathe on them, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done. Let your will be done. We come against Satan and any attack that he has against these families. Bless every marriage under the sound of my voice. Bless every wife, every husband. Every child, oh God, bless every family, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, let your will be done. Not our will, but let your will be done, oh God. Hallelujah. Minister to those who are listening right now, God. Lord, minister to them in a mighty way. Lord, they just need to hear another word from you. They need another touch from you. Lord, touch those who are sick in body right now, God. Lord, some people have gotten that bad doctor's report, Lord, and they're scared and they're nervous. Lord, thank you for encouraging their hearts and giving them strength and giving them power and giving them faith, oh God, to believe that you're in the middle of all things, working things out for their good. Lord, answer every prayer that's been submitted to you by your people, God. Lord, I touch and agree with them for every prayer. Somebody needs some money. Oh, God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you delight in the prosperity of your people. So, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you are sending money to meet those bills, to meet those financial obligations, in order for them to buy the food and buy the clothing and to pay the lease and to pay the mortgage, oh God, and even, Father God, to help those who are in need, God. So I just thank you for an overflow of money coming into the homes of your people. So, Lord, even as I've been led to pray, I pray this prayer even for peace in their mind. Somebody needs peace on today, Lord. I thank you for a peace that surpasses all understanding, oh God, in the name of Jesus. So, Lord, have your way in the lives of your people that are gathering here for this broadcast on today, God. I speak power. I speak blessings over their lives right now. And, Lord, I know that it is done according to your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God is up to something. Listen, when you're down to nothing, go ahead and praise God, because God is up to something. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to, I got to play one more song. I want to introduce you to this song, Nakia Scott. We were down in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina. And this is a new single from Nakia Scott, and it's called Your Praise. I want to sing, play this song, Nakia Scott, and then I'm going to be right back and open up the phone lines so that we can talk. Amen. Hallelujah. Your Praise, Nakia Scott.
Almighty God, you are holy, so strong and mighty. You died and rose again with all power in your hands. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing your praise. Beautiful Lord, seated high and above, capture my heart and adore me with your love. Captivated by you, oh Lord, you are my one. I will forever sing your praise. I will forever sing. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, most holy one. You are my friend and King, my Savior, Lord, most holy.
When you're going through some stuff in life, you got to know that you got to keep on rejoicing and keep praising God and keep giving God the glory and honor and everything that is due to him, because the enemy wants to stop you. There's an enemy against your assignment. There's an assignment against your assignment. So, you know, this wasn't my plan, my first day back after a few weeks, but God knows. You know, God knows the plans that he has. Amen. Pastor Emily called and said, we can't hear you. Got a lot of interference. Hey, honey, what's going on? God bless you.
God bless you. It looked like whatever you did, it worked out.
Well, I'm on another phone. I'm actually on Marcus's. I had to call into the studio using another phone. But I'm going to have you just talk to the people for a few minutes, because what I need to do is come back in as host. I'm not in as host right now, so I'm going to come back in as host, and then we'll keep going. But just share something, some of the things that are on your heart. Maybe you could even talk about our trip a little bit, whatever God gives you. Not, I don't know if you have the marriage moments yet, but whatever God gives you. Hopefully it's not the marriage moments, because I want to hear the marriage moments. So if you could just hold down the fort, I'll be right back.
Amen. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. And this is the day God has made. We are rejoicing and glad in it, as my wife goes to handle the technical part of this broadcast and these things.
Marcus,
in order. We are truly,
Marcus,
truly blessed. Hallelujah. Truly blessed to have you listening to us today. We did come from a conference with our Apostle Matthew Tillery, our Tri-Faith Covenant Ministry family, down in Rocky Mount, North Carolina, and God moved in a mighty way. My wife and I were so blessed. We got back to New Creation, and she had to preach, but we didn't have much of a voice because we shouted so much down in Rocky Mount. It was a family conference. The theme this year was a family retreat. It's a family affair. And God used Apostle Matthew Tillery just to pour into family and marriages and to children, because God does care about the family. And doesn't matter if you're married, single, or grandparents, uncle, aunt, cousin, somehow you're part of a family. And God is not pleased sometimes what's going on with family, and he's in his divine power is going to get things in order. So I thank God for my wife as I come to, you know, do my part during this broadcast, as we have our children. They're out of school for the summer and doing things for the summer. As we look to our adult children, many of you know we have an adult children, Justin 25, Hakita 33, 34, I think. And it's just a challenging hour to be a family. So I just thank God that we can tune into broadcasts like this, get encouragement, good advice, sound counsel. Just get exhorted, because I don't know about you, but for me, I see so much in our day, things that I never thought I would witness, things that I never thought I would be a part of, even the culture as it's changing so rapidly. But how many of you know God is still in control? Oh, I feel God. God still rules. He still reigns. Things may look like they're out of order in our sight, but I thank God that he still has his hand on those of us who are looking to him. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, when God put this in my wife's heart a while ago, woman to woman, she deal with so many women who have so many issues and problems, whether it be marriage or something from their childhood, something even current. being married to this woman for almost 16 years, I've seen her come through challenging moments in the workplace, health issues, ministry issues. I've seen her overcome so much, only due to her faith in God. And that's why she's just a mighty, powerful vessel that God has raised up in this hour, calling us in this hour. Hallelujah. So we're going to move forward in the name of Jesus. And I do have a powerful marriage moment. God put something in my spirit that I'm going to share with the married people, but I think it's for all of us. It's for all of us, because we, again, are going through so much. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to that, too, Pastor Anthony, to that marriage moment, you know. And thank you. for I heard what you said about me. Thank you.
I just want people to know I've been there through a lot of it.
Yes. The challenges of the life of Rebecca. I need to write an autobiography, but to God be the glory for the great things he's doing. And that we keep going. That's what I was saying earlier before my phone, and my phone is fine now. I'm on another phone right now, but my BlackBerry now wants to take a charge. So, you know, that's nothing but the devil. Somebody would say it was technology, but it's nothing but the enemy coming against the plan of God. And it's an analogy. You know, when we look at the little things, I was talking about not overlooking the little things. When we look at the little things, that seem to try, the little foxes that try to spoil the vine. You know, it just lets us know that God is in the middle of everything. And if God is in the middle of everything, then guess what? There's warfare in the middle of everything, because the devil is constantly fighting against the plan of God. So God, to God be the glory. To God be the glory, amen, for the great things that he's doing. So, Pastor Emily, you say you have a good marriage moment?
Oh, yeah. It blesses me because I'm married, and I hear all the negative statistics about marriage, but I thank God that we have a good, godly, strong marriage. And it's only through God's grace, and that's what I want to share today. So when you're ready for me to fire that up, people may fire their grill up today, but we might do that a little later. But we want to fire up the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, about 15 more minutes, 20 more minutes. We're going to have to share that at the top of the hour, about 25 minutes. I want to talk about the conference last week over at Tri-Faith Ministries. For those of you in the North Carolina area, Tri-Faith Ministries is a powerful ministry. Our apostle, Matthew Tillery, and Pastor Dawn are the set men and women of God that the Lord has planted in that church, and they are doing a mighty work for the Lord. They're doing a mighty work for the Lord. They actually had a Family Matters conference on this past weekend on Thursday. It started Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And we were so blessed. I mean, Vicky Yoey came in on Friday night, but the conference started on Thursday. Apostle Matthew Tillery got up and he preached the word on family and how God is concerned about the family. And then he spoke a word over family, the word of healing over family. And Vicky Yoey came on Friday night, and we just worshiped God with Vicky Yoey, and you heard me play Nakia Scott, her song, that's Apostle's Daughter, and that girl, I mean, the anointing was so powerful in the sanctuary while Nakia Scott was singing Your Praise. And I love that. I have the CD. I just bought the MP3 from Amazon. You could go over to Amazon and download the MP3 for 99 cents. And it's a praise song. And this girl, she's a worshiper. And we had the honor worshiping with her and Vicky Yoey and the Tri-Faith International Covenant Ministries praise team, and it was just so powerful. It was powerful. And then on Saturday morning, Friday morning, we had some workshops on family. Pastor Dawn and Apostle Walker came in, and they taught us on merging the family and healing the family, and it was just so powerful. Powerful, powerful workshops. And then we were able to come back on Saturday morning and get an impartation from the Lord. I'm telling you, the Lord swept through the church. He swept through the sanctuary. I mean, people were just laid out in the spirit. People were shouting, crying, worshiping. Chains were being broken off of the lives of the people. Demons were fleeing. We began to praise God at the end of the service and just begin to dance before the Lord and just dance ourselves into a frenzy. I mean, my God, I danced so much I just fell out. I just fell out. I just danced until I fell out, and it was just so powerful. And then after the dance, the Lord came in such a mighty way, because the Lord says that he inhabits the praises of his people. And that's what I was talking about earlier, rejoicing in the Lord, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And the Lord came in such a powerful way because we praise them like in an undignified way, like David did. We danced like David danced, and we just praise God. And God came into the middle of the people where it was such a strong anointing, a strong presence of God in the sanctuary that we couldn't even move. We couldn't leave the sanctuary. That's how powerful it was. And I said, to God be the glory for the great things that he's doing, that the presence of the Lord would show up like that. And it's my prayer that the presence of the Lord would show up like that in our churches across the United States of America, that God would show up and show out in the lives of his people, amen, and that we would have no lack in our lives, that there would be no worry, you know, no doubt, amen, but that we would know for sure that God is our Father and we are his people, we are his children, amen. So I was just so excited about that, and I'm opening up the phone lines. Some of you are experiencing a mighty move of God, and I want you to call in 646-652-4832. 646-652-4832. Begin to call in and let your voice be heard, and let us know what God is doing in your life. Have you seen a move of God lately, and how is God moving in your life? What is your testimony unto the greatness of the Lord? I just want some people to call in and start to give your testimony. Whether you want to give it in the chat room or call in and let your voice be heard. The Bible says that we win over the evil one by our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. By our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. So I want to hear your testimony. Your testimony is going to help somebody else. So I want you to call in. If you can, press 1, and I'll put you on the air so that you can tell us what God is doing in your life and how God is moving in your life. Amen. Amen. Come on and begin to call in 646-652-4832 and let your voice be heard. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let your voice be heard. We need to hear from you on this call today. Amen. Hallelujah. We're beginning to get the call. Area code 757, you're on the air. Welcome to
Hello.
The Woman to Woman Show.
Yes, can you hear me, Prophet?
Yes, yes.
Okay, how are you?
I'm doing well. Who am I speaking with?
Sister Ricks, I was calling in for prayer.
Amen. What is your name?
Sister Ricks, R-I-C-K-S.
R-I-C-K-S, you're calling for prayer?
Yeah,
amen.
I applied for some principal jobs and some different positions, and it's going to pray for some doors to open up for employment and also for a house to manifest on my behalf.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you, and we magnify your name. Hallelujah. You're worthy, oh God. Oh, God, you are worthy to be praised. Lord, there is none like the Lord. Hallelujah. And we just glorify your name on today. Lord, I thank you for our sister, oh God, Sister Rick, oh God, who's calling in for prayer on today, God. Lord, I thank you, hallelujah, for her coming boldly to the throne room, oh God, making her request known unto you, God. Lord, you said that we come, Father God, in faith, Father God, believing anything according to your word, that we could be assured that you hear us, God, and as you hear us, that you will give us those things which we have asked of you, Lord.
Thank you,
so we know, Lord, that you delight in the prosperity of your people.
Yes.
Lord, we know, Lord, that you are Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider.
Amen.
Lord, we know that you open doors that no man can close, oh God. Lord, we know that you make a way in the wilderness, oh God. Hallelujah. The pathway out in the rivers, oh God. Lord, that you can part the rivers, oh God. Hallelujah. Even as you parted the Jordan, oh God. Even as you parted the Red Sea, oh God.
Yes,
Lord, we know that you are able, oh God. Lord, we thank you. Hallelujah. Even now, Father God. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, for this woman, oh God, Father God, calling in for prayer, oh God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Even as she's put in applications, oh God. Even as she's gone and gotten schooling, oh God, and gotten a degree, oh God. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you're going to reward her for her labor, oh God.
Yes,
we thank
God.
You, Lord, that you're going to reward her for her effort, for her diligence, oh God.
Jesus.
As she has put her hand to the plow, oh God, as she has been diligent in her studies, oh God, as she has finished the course, oh God, of education, oh God, that you will open the doors, oh God. Hallelujah.
Yes,
even,
God.
Father God, she's applying to the school system for principal and whatever it is, oh God, that she's looking for from heaven, oh God. We thank you, Lord, for opening up the windows of heaven, and oh God, pouring out the blessing, oh God, so big that she can't even receive it, oh God.
Jesus.
We thank you for divine favor right now in the name of
God.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Oh God,
bless
that
you your name, God.
A divine favor upon her life, oh God,
Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Oh
Jesus.
God, even for the house, oh God. Oh God, we thank you. I see the keys. Oh my God.
Jesus.
We thank you for the house, oh God. Oh, my God. Sister, I see you holding some keys.
Jesus.
I see you holding keys to your home, to your brand new home. I see you holding keys. Hallelujah. That God is opening doors for you. And I see you holding the key of life. My God, it's not only keys to a door of a house, but I see you holding the key to life. That God is opening up some doors in your life.
Thank
that there's
you,
some
Lord.
Doors
Hallelujah.
That have been closed. That you've been going down this pathway. And it seems like a dark pathway sometimes. And it seems like it's a lonely pathway. And it seems like there's not many people there to support you. And I just see you walking down this pathway. And I see light. Even as I began to pray for God to open up the windows of heaven.
Yes.
I saw the heavens being opened up over your head, and not only over your head, but over your region. Where God is saying that every place that your foot shall tread, you shall begin to possess the land. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Not just in a job, but God's getting ready to give you the desires of your heart as you continue to delight yourself in Him.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Yes,
hallelujah. My God, my God, my God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
And you have a heart for the children. There's some children that you've been even praying for and that you've been helping out with some children in your family, even. Hallelujah.
And
my God, God said because of your faithfulness, my God. Even in that area, He's going to open the door for you. God wants you to go into the school system. He's going to open that door for you because He's called you to be a vessel of light in the lives of so many children who are faced with darkness on a daily basis. God's getting ready to do something mighty in your life, and He's saying be diligent. God is saying be constant and continue to be faithful and faith-filled because God's getting ready to meet you. God wants you to increase your faith. Hallelujah. Some people are speaking against your destiny.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, my God. I see wagging tongues. People say, who does she think she is? She thinks she's better than us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
But God is saying, just continue to ignore them. He's giving you a forehead, face like flint. God said He's setting your face like flint. And don't worry about them. Don't worry about your enemies. But continue to believe Him and continue to walk in ministry. Even in ministry, God's going to plant you. There's something that He wants to do with you in ministry, in the church. Hallelujah.
Yes.
And there's some opposition coming even against that. But God says the steps of a good woman are ordered by the Lord. And He's ordering your steps. Hallelujah. He's ordering your steps. And God says, continue to follow me and obey me. And I'm opening up pathways. There's something He wants you to roll up your sleeves and do in the church, even the more so in spite of the opposition. There's something He wants you to roll up. I see you rolling up your sleeves. I see you being a laborer, a worker, a steward.
Yes.
And God says, even as you take care of my house, I'm going to not only take care of your house, He said, but I'm going to provide everything that you need for your house.
Yes.
Yeah, so I just thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in my sister's life.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I thank you for even the revelation, the vision that you've given me for her. I see sunshine, sister. The sun is shining. Weeping may endure for a night, but God says joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
So the sun is shining over your realm,
thank
over your
you,
region.
God.
God's going to begin to walk into some places. Even the way you want to work, God says just begin to walk into those places. And everywhere that your foot shall tread, God says, I'm going to let you possess the land. And you're going to be a vessel of light in the middle of some dark places. So, Lord, I just thank you for my sister. I thank you for her faithfulness. I thank you. We thank you that it's already done. In the name of Jesus.
Lord,
thank you, Jesus. We thank you that it's already done, oh God.
Thank you,
hallelujah.
God.
Even now, God, thank you for your faithfulness
you,
towards your daughter. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
hallelujah. My.
Yes.
And when you, Sister Rick, when you go to church tomorrow, just give God a thank offering in your praise and give him a thank, sow a seed, a financial seed in your house. When you go to your church, just take it to the altar. Just plant it on the altar and give God a thank offering because it's already done. It's already done. You know, the thank offering is not to get the blessing, but the thank offering is to thank God for the blessing because it's already done. Your pastor, they're going to look at you and say, well, what is this? Is I'm just thanking God. I'm just thanking him in advance. It's already done. And believe
God, because
God is opening his doors in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You keep praising him. You keep praising him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging prayer. You keep praising him. Hallelujah. You just keep praising God. My God. Hallelujah.
I just spent my last $600 sending my niece and nephew to camp, their mother. She's on drugs, so I've been keeping them for the summer. I've been paying for them to go to camp. So, Lord, that's my bill money probably that I spent paying for them to go to YMCA for the summer. No, and I sent all my money that I had to take care of them. Now I need money to pay my bills, Father.
Jesus. Jesus. My God. God showed me that. I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Your niece and your nephew.
Yeah, two nieces and nephews. I paid $600 for 4 weeks of camp. I paid it on Friday. Now I don't have time profits.
How old are they?
12, 8, and 5.
Oh, let me say this to you. I did not know you had done that for your those children. I don't even know you.
I know.
Yeah, you know, but the Lord showed me that you had made a sacrifice and that you were helping some children. You took them out of the city and sent them. You took them out of. They could have just been sitting around the hot apartment all summer, and you sent them to camp.
Yeah.
And you provided some light in the lives of those kids. I'm telling you, God said it. He's going to bless you for that. You just wait. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
My God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Wow. You keep praising him because your doors are open. They are open. You just got to walk through them. You just got to walk through them. Your doors are already open. So you're going to
begin. Can you call me back later on this number if you don't mind?
Regarding the seed, can you call me back on this number when you get a chance? Okay, I'll give you a call later. Thank you so much, prophet. Thank you. Don't forget. Thank you. Okay, that's Sister Ricks, right? Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Okay, I'll call you later. God bless you. Thank you so much. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. Let me tell you something. God is faithful. My God, I was looking, I was just before my phone started acting up, I was supposed to read Psalm 27. But look what Psalm 27 says. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though fear should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above my enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God, my salvation. And I think it's a few more verses. Let me see. It's a few more verses, but I'm not going to read them. But God wanted me to just begin to read that scripture when I first was coming on the air, and that's it, because we got to realize that God is just so faithful. He's our help. He's our light. He's our salvation. And when we have the Lord on our side, we have everything that we need. There's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be ashamed of. There's no reason to doubt. If you could just have faith as a mustard seed, the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, then you could believe that He's going to do what He's going to do, what He said He's going to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm praising God with Sister Rick's on today. Amen. The Lord just called this for prayer, and the Lord is blessing her. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Emily is here. I want to just encourage you, when you hear God speak to you, move out according to what God has said. Move out to, hey, praise the Lord. Coach Lalisa is in the chat room. I just saw you in there. God bless you. Perfect timing. Move out according to what God has said. I was just speaking to Coach Lalisa, Minister Lalisa, Prophetess Lalisa, about a week ago. She gave me a call, and I was blessed to talk to her. And we were talking about the vision. And we were talking about the vision being anointed. God's anointing is on the vision. See, so often we want to go our own way and do what we want to do, and then we want God to bless our stuff. But God has already given you the vision, and He just wants you to stick with the vision. And it's the vision that's going to be blessed. It's the vision that's going to be anointed. It's the vision that has the oil on it. Hey, my God. My God, my God, my God. So whatever God has told you to do, just do that. And like Pastor Emily preached on Wednesday, don't you move until God tells you to move. And don't move until God moves. And when God moves, make sure you're moving with God. He preached, when you move, when God moves, you move. He said, when God moves, you move. And that was the word on this past Wednesday. You could go back and listen to the archives. We're having a powerful time in our midday services on Wednesday. So if you're not listening, I just encourage you to tune in on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock noon Eastern Standard Time. The Lord is speaking. Amen. And begin to be a part of that virtual service there right here on Blog Talk Radio. Amen. So somebody else can call 614-432. Let your voice be heard. What's on your heart? What's on your mind? What's on your soul? Amen. Let's hear what the Lord is doing in your life. What's your testimony? Amen. Hallelujah. We want to hear from you. Amen. Hallelujah. So call in and let your voice be heard. Amen. Hallelujah. But yeah, I want to talk about the church. Sometimes we're coming up against attack even in the church. And the devil, let me tell you something. Pastor preached on Wednesday. He said, don't let nobody make you leave your church. There are only two reasons that you should leave your church. One is if your leadership is inherently wicked. you know that they're wicked. You know, if all kinds of mess is going on in the pulpit and you know they're not following God any longer, then you pray and you ask God to release you and send you to a place where there are leaders that are following God. And the other one is if you have to relocate to another state and you need a new church home. Of course, if you move from New Jersey to Florida, you're going to need a new church home. You're going to need a new pastor. And again, you pray and you ask God where he's sending you. And the third is if your assignment is up and God wants to use you in another ministry, if your time is up, very rarely will God just move you. Listen, don't be a church hopper and going from church to church, amen. But God will lead you, especially if you have a specific ministry or if there's a new work coming up and God knows that you have something to add to that work and He has connected you to that work, then God will even sometimes for a season move you so that you could be implemental in kingdom building, amen, and building that work. But we don't just go from church to church and move and say, I'm going to another church. And if you're not working in the house of the Lord, I want you to encourage yourself to begin to pray and say, God, what can I do in this house? You know, if you know that you have something specific that you can add to a ministry and you're not being used in that ministry, don't get up and leave that church. Let me say it again. If you know you have something specific to add to a ministry and you're not being used in that ministry right now, don't get up and leave the church. Go to the pastor and sit down with the pastor and say, Pastor, this is what I have to add to the ministry, and I need to know, will you allow me to work with you in ministry? And look, don't get mad at the pastor if you say you think you should be able to preach every three weeks or once a month, and the pastor say, no, I need you to help. I need you to clean the bathroom. Don't get mad and indignant like Naaman did and say, you know what, I'm not going to clean no dirty bathroom. I'm supposed to be preaching. No, baby, sometimes it's a test where God is saying, are you willing to do the little stuff, the menial task? If your pastor is still cleaning the bathroom, you need to be cleaning the bathroom if you're still sitting in the pew, or even if you're not. You need to say, what can I do in this house? Can I sweep the floor? Can I be a doorkeeper? Can I be an usher? Can I clean up after church? Can I be a parking lot attendant? What can I do? So often we're looking for titles. Everybody wants a title these days, and we're looking for a title. And God is saying, my house is in ruins, and nobody wants to roll up their sleeves and do the work. But the work still has to be done so that the man of God, the woman of God, the pastor can be freed up to study, to pray, and to bring forth the spiritual bread that you need to fulfill your soul. Amen. So many people are leaving churches and going to a new church, and you're still asking God, what am I supposed to be doing? And God is saying, do the work of the kingdom. Do the work of the kingdom. And don't be haphazard about it. You know, get to church on time. You know, get there early and begin to intercede. Begin to pray. Amen. Pray for your pastors when you're not at church. And this is not just for NCCM. This is for everybody. I think the body, the Lord is really grieved, amen, because of the way that the church is conducting itself. I think the body, we need to get God's house in order. Amen. We need to be more diligent about the things of God. We need to put forth more effort when it comes to the things of God. We're running in the door and we're expecting the pastor to have all the answers, all the solutions, and do all the work. And that's out of order. If you read your Bible, it's not supposed to be like that. Amen. But I think back in the Old Testament, the people were stiff-necked and rebellious. I think what we're facing today is a generation of spoiled children as far as the kingdom is concerned. I think that, you know, we've gotten spoiled with all of the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. Amen. And we need to, in the book of Zephaniah, I believe, the Lord says, consider your ways. And I think we all can examine ourselves and consider our ways and say, am I doing my part to advance the kingdom? Amen. Hallelujah. We have another caller. Area code 754, you're on the air. Welcome to the program today.
God bless you, prophetess, and to everyone who's listening. This is Apostle Stephen Amaker from Fort Lauderdale, hot Florida. And I just, hey. you're pulling me, you're pulling me. We just ended revival this the other day. Again, we've been in a series of revivals, and to hear what God is saying to the body, it's just phenomenal. Because one, He is preparing the body for the harvest, not just for the blessing, but for the harvest. And we got to prepare ourselves. And interestingly enough, the Lord gave me a message Tuesday night. I think it was out of Luke, I believe it's Luke either 15 or 16, where the Bible talks about the prodigal son. Now, we've heard that message how many times? All of us that we've even preached it and you heard it preached. But and the Holy Ghost said, but you never heard the message about his brother, the prodigal son's brother. But the Bible says that when he came towards the house, he was angry. When he heard the music and the noise going on, he got angry. What is this going on? What is this going on? Why are you celebrating him? And I've been here all the time, and he got angry. And so the Lord began to say, there is a lot of angry Christians in the church today.
Wow.
They're angry. They're mad. She just started going to church. I've been here 3 years, and Pastor never called my name. And every time he come in the door, he have her to stand up and church say, praise the Lord, because our sister's here. Angry. They're bitter. They're unforgiving. And that kind of spirit will drive. While I was preaching, the pastor of the church that we was at, he said, that's happened to me. He said, that's what kept me from church. We're driving converts, souls to be saved. You're driving them out because you're angry. And we need...
Amen. Hallelujah. He just got dropped. Amen. But he was making a good point. Pastor Emily, are you still there? Amen. Pastor Anthony? Amen. Hallelujah. He was making a very good point about angry, being angry. Amen. He's back now. Amen. You dropped. Amen. But you were making a very good point about being angry.
You're angry at the word. You're angry at the church. You're angry with your own life, and you bring all of this in the church. So when it's time, watch this. Don't you? And I know a prophetess, and as well as Pastor Anthony, we have seen people minister and preach in anger. You're not loving the people. You're scolding and you're fighting. What's wrong? What's wrong? And you think people don't know? People don't see that you're angry? People don't see that you're bitter? People don't see that you're unforgiving? People don't see that you're just mad with everybody? You don't like nobody, and you don't love nobody? And you say you got the Spirit of God. Well, God is love, and you don't love nobody, so how do you have God? We know that you have passed from death unto life because you, what, love the brother. And this is what's going on tremendously in the body, because God wants to see and watch this, which is so vital. And in the revival last week, young lady just came in out the street. She's fresh saved, just joined the church. And Sunday night, it was the beginning of the revival, I proclaimed, we're not going to be the same after this revival. And she jumped up and said, I'm not going to be the same. I mean, she said it so forcefully that the devil heard her, and he didn't want her. And the next day, he attacked that young lady. I mean, he attacked everything that concerned her. Yeah. And she came back to continue to come to church. And I said, wow. We were so busy celebrating her conversion that we forgot to tell her, now you got to watch out because the devil's going to fight against you. Well, don't end there. We went through the revival. The Lord blessed the young lady. Last Sunday, she said she came to me. And now, Tuesday night of this week, I'm preaching about angry Christians. Now, watch the parallel. This young lady who just gave her life to the Lord. The devil attacked her like you've never seen before. He attacks her, and then she comes to me after service and says, I went to visit some people last Sunday, and while I was visiting with them, somebody broke in my friend's car, stole my pocketbook, stole all my money, all of my ID and everything. She said, well, you know what? I still got a yes in my spirit. I'm still telling the Lord yes. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Now, here's one of the ministers of the same, of another church, the church we was in Revival at. Here's one of the ministers, and after service, I come, go out, you know, to cool off or whatever, and I'm going to the pastor's office, and the pastor's wife comes and says, come here, I need to talk to you. This here is the minister sitting in there, face red, stomping her feet, and angry at the work. Angry, I don't like what you said. I don't like what you...
What? Wow. Wow, she didn't like what you said?
She don't like what I said to her.
She
don't like what
that?
I was saying. I didn't say, I didn't call her name. I didn't say, I made an open statement, but she did not like it. And then she get up and go to the pastor and tell her, I don't like what he said. And the pastor is telling me, she don't like what you said. But she's a minister. Now, you see what I'm saying? Here's a fresh convert that been through hell and high water, and they're rejoicing. And here you are, the minister, leader in this church, and you're sitting here with your jaws swollen and eyes mad and all this stuff because you don't like what was said in the church.
Wow. Wow. And she did that in front of the girl?
No. She pulled the pastor into the office, and the pastor pulled me. So the girl, the young lady, but I'm saying the parallel. The parallel.
Yeah. But how do you come to a preacher, an apostle, and tell him that you don't like what he said in the church?
You know that. I know that. You know that.
Not even an apostle. Excuse me, I'm sorry, apostle, but not even an apostle, but a spokesman for the word, for the Lord. You came with the word of the Lord in your mouth. You mounted that sacred desk. You brought forth a word, you know, and how does a leader in that house come to you and speak against the word that the Lord gave you to speak? How do you speak against what God has spoken?
You ain't.
Wow.
The Lord is showing. The Lord is what God is bringing the body to is immediate manifestation.
Yeah.
Immediate manifestation. We've experienced that for the last several weeks, even after leaving there, and we've even seen some of the manifestation as we were there. By the way, thank you and Pastor, for all that you have done and blessed us so greatly while we are in your city and at your ministry. And the people of God, oh, they just loved on me. And I'm just still celebrating what God has done there. But we're experiencing immediate, God says, one scripture in Jeremiah says, I know you say that the word of the Lord, I'm paraphrasing, he says, I know you say that the word of the Lord comes for a time afar. But God says, not no more. When I speak it, that's when I'll do it. When it's spoken, that's when God is going to do it. And that's what we're coming into now, the immediate manifestation. When God said it, that's when you look, you go ahead, start looking for it. And the Lord sent the word about angry Christians, and here this minister is showing, I'm one of them that's angry.
Wow.
Now, there's a lot of reasons for being angry. But what happened to the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
Be angry,
and that's
but I'm going.
Go ahead, sir. Yes. Go ahead.
There's too much. We can't minister effective to God's people angry. In anger, you can't do it. It's impossible. God does not want us to minister in anger. How can I tell you how to be healed if I'm sick? How can I tell you how to be delivered from delivering if I'm still bound up.
Wow.
It's not gonna work. It's not gonna work. And there's too many people. I mean, I know this. You have problems in your personal life. Yeah, but sometimes, and then again, we as preachers, we know, hey, you're going to have to preach. You're going to have to preach. You're going to have to preach sick. You're going to have to preach headache. You're going to have to preach about to fall out. You're going to have to preach just had the worst argument with your husband or your wife. And when you step in that place, you got to be prepared to feed the sheep, because the sheep didn't come to hear about your personal life. They come to hear a word from the Lord.
Yeah, and that's so powerful what you were saying. As a preacher, she's a minister. Yes, just take the parallel. It was a wonderful parallel that you gave me, according to angry Christians, and then even the fact that you have a new Christian who's rejoicing and determined to stand, and then you have a seasoned saint, probably, who's a minister of the gospel, and she was angry. And I was looking at, I was thinking about Mark as you were speaking, the book of Mark, chapter 4, which Jesus was talking about the parable of the seed. And 4:16, verse 16 says, "And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and
that's
so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended." And then he talks about the thorns and all of the ground, different types of ground that come. But you had two people. This girl received the word with gladness, and then she was persecuted for the word's sake. Because the devil's going to come. What I'm saying is that the devil comes immediately for the word's sake. Because of the word, the devil comes immediately because of that word to come to wreak havoc in the life of the hearer of the word. This minister of the gospel, she's operating with stony ground. She's allowed herself to have a stony heart. And I don't know if it was ever any other way, you know, before she was licensed as a minister or whatever, but that's why we teach this so adamantly, and people don't like us for it. But by the time you get ready to be a minister, you need to have worked out a whole bunch of those issues in advance. You know, let's not be so hasty to become a minister of the gospel when we are holding back our issues, our real-life issues, from the healing hand of the Lord. You know, we have to allow God to heal us, because when you were talking about angry Christians, I was like, well, God, why? Why are Christians angry? And he says, because they're hurting and because they have not allowed me to heal them. They have experienced church hurt. They've experienced hurt in their marriage. They've experienced hurt on the job. They've experienced hurt from their children. And they, instead of forgiving, which is crucial for the life of a Christian, they are harboring these hurts. And instead of doing what the word says and releasing that anger, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, be angry and sin not. They are holding on to that anger and accumulating stone upon stone upon stone in the area of the heart. And,
It takes one thing to set it off. One more situation to really just set all that off. And sadly to say, what I spoke to her was that, like they say, the straw that broke the camel's back. I said was the straw that broke the camel's back in her life. But like you said, you've been harboring this for so long. Instead of trying to get delivered and healed from it, you're just adding it and adding this compounding. You're becoming more and more bitter, more and more angry, more and more unforgiving, more and more. I mean, it's not all from church. It's in your personal life. People, watch this. Not jumping the gun, but fast forwarding a little bit. The young lady, who I said just got saved, in that meeting the week before last, in that meeting, she was really reach out to the Lord. She really was.
Wow.
So everybody was rejoicing. She was sitting there.
Wow.
Like, hold up. We seen the difference. We seen how you was coming in and singing and clapping and enjoying the service. And now I'm sitting here, and now you like you hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
So I had two mature pastors to go. I said, I called her up, and she's just standing there, and she's just like I can't hear nothing you say. And
yeah.
So I called two mature pastors over. I said, minister to her. And so they stood there, and they ministered to her for a while. And come to find out, she has situations and issues in her life that I don't know how to handle.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Coming
yeah.
to the Lord. Yeah, my the street and sin and all this stuff has brought up issues into my life, and now that I'm trying to make a transition, I don't know what to do. Her job is threatening her. Her home is threatening her. They're talking about they overpaid her 52, so she's threatened by a lawsuit and some other issues. And she said,
right.
I don't know what to do. I can't go. But see, what my point is, suppose these people that were ministering to her were angry. We would have lost the soul. We would have lost the soul because when
right.
you're angry, you don't minister in love. You minister in anger. In anger.
Right.
And that's,
right.
that's why the Bible says the harvest was great, but the laborers are few. Because
yes.
people have not been properly, and you said this earlier, people have not been properly trained in how to minister to the harvest.
Yeah.
You can't go out there
yeah.
preaching in anger. You can't go out there preaching in unforgiveness. You can't go
no,
out
you
there
can't.
Preaching in hatred.
Because it transfers. And I was talking to a young lady, one of my spiritual daughters, earlier this week. It transfers. Spirits transfer, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have an angry spirit, then that's what you're spewing out over the people. So, you know, deliverance can't take place. You have to, the vessel has to be pure. It has to be, you have to allow yourself to be emptied out in order for God to pour himself in you, in order for you to pour back into the lives of the people. You know, so we should not be ministering out of our issues, and this is for all of you ministers out there, but we should be ministering out of our overflow, you know, that we
mm-hmm.
should always go before the Lord first and let him begin to minister to us. As we minister to him through our worship, through our praise, through sitting at his feet and hearing what he has to say to us through his word and through his spirit, then God begins to minister to us and heal those broken areas in us, and then we are able to now go back and pour into the lives of other people. But we never go before the Lord and think we could just go out there and go on operate on our gifts without
that's
the
right.
anointing. That's why the anointing
that's
is so important. Then
mm-hmm.
we're going to be in trouble in our hearers, those who sit before us. They say, you will harm not only yourself. The Bible says
mm-hmm.
you'll hurt not only yourself, but you'll hurt those who hear you. No, it says if you save yourself, you'll save those who hear you. And it goes the opposite way, too. If you hurt yourself, you'll also hurt those who hear you. So as a minister
that's right.
Of the gospel, yeah, 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 well, this is good. I want to just see Pastor Emily still with us. Pastor Emily, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm being blessed by what I'm listening to, yes.
Amen. I just wanted to get you in, let you have a couple of remarks, talk to Apostle Amica for a few seconds, and then you can flow right into your marriage moments. I want you to just maybe give Apostle some feedback, and you guys could dialogue for a couple of minutes. I'm going to take a back seat, and then you can flow right into our marriage moments.
Amen. It's amazing because it's similar to what God has put in my spirit, how Apostle said, we really got to be sensitive, because when when the harvest does come in, we want to keep that harvest. I thank God that there were things in place to keep me in church. There were people in place who kind of knew the walk that I was walking through, and you need that. That's what ministry is all about. But as you both were sharing earlier, from what I get, it's still about the people. I mean, some people have seen the glamorous side of ministry. They've seen I want to be seen and I want to be on a microphone. I want to be before the people. I want to be invited in. I want to feel important. And God is saying simply sometimes we got to take a back seat and look at that soul who's going to be in glory with us. Look at the people of God that is not about the here and now. And, you know, sometimes it is hard to put our issues aside and go forward in ministry. But as Apostle said, we have to do it if we had said yes to become a minister of this gospel. He absolutely right. You can't get up there as the pastor and say, I ain't feel like coming to church today like some of the Christians, some of the parishioners can do. They can say, I don't feel like going. They can say, I don't feel like going, and don't go. The pastor, the shepherd, never have that option. And we're going through something similar or something even worse. But we never had that scapegoat or that option. And with I do want to go right into the marriage moment. We are going to minister to married couples right here in New Jersey a little later today. And if you're in this area, please come out to that conference and that seminar. But right now, I want to go to the book of Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I preached from this a few weeks ago, and Paul is writing here, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to read from verse 7 to 10, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Verse 8 says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, in other words, three times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We'll stop at this 10th verse. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, I am strong. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to talk briefly to every husband, every wife. Sometimes there are those lasting issues in our marriages, those things that we besought the Lord for that seems to hang around. As Pastor Amica and my wife were just sharing, there's some pressing issues that some people just cannot shake. Whether it's a seasoned saint or a new believer, there's some things in our lives that it seems like God has not removed yet. The Bible says Paul prayed three times for this particular thing, and God did not remove it. And sometimes in our marriages, there's some things that you're still arguing about. And it seems like this issue just will not go away. There's some things that still get up under both of your skin. It always escalates into something ugly. It's something that keeps arising and keeps being resurrected, and God seems to not put it away for good. And I'm here to remind you today, don't let that thing prevail over you and your marriage. The devil wants you to stop praying. The first thing I want to share with you is don't stop praying for peace in your marriage. If that thing is bringing you unrest, confusion, strife, don't stop praying, beloved, because you got to believe in the power of prayer and the prayer of faith. Prayer is effective and powerful. And when you pray, God may not remove it, but he'll get you through it. It's something about praying that gives you strength. Paul said, I prayed, and God did not remove it, but God gave him a wonderful response. Even if I don't remove it, my grace is sufficient. Hallelujah. The reason you're still married, the reason you're still sorting the Lord for that issue, the reason you have not given up on that spouse because it don't seem like they're getting through or you're not getting through to them. It's because God has graced you with favor. God has given you grace, has given you room, has given you a distance, even with that pressing issue, to move forward in your marriage. And the point number two I want to make very briefly, if he does not remove it, he will use it. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
God says if he does not remove it, he will use it. Paul gave us a clue because God gave him revelation. He went to the third heaven, the third dimension, stuff he could not articulate in his English language. Paul was a Pharisee, but his human wisdom, his human knowledge could not grasp what God exposed him to. And he said, to keep me humble, God gave me this thing. Allow the enemy to buffet me, to give me this thorn. And God is saying that to you today. If I don't remove it, I'm going to use it. It's going to keep you before me. It's going to keep you coming to church as a husband and wife. It's going to keep you in my word. That thing is going to keep you with that issue is going to keep you before me, knowing that without me, you can do nothing. Without me, this marriage is not going to work. Without me, you're going to need me because this issue is pressing on your marriage because it shows you all the more you need me. You and your husband, you and your wife, and your humanly efforts can't remove or can't deal with this issue. And God is saying, if I don't remove it, I'm going to use it to keep you before me.
Pastor Anthony, can I have a piece of that? Just a small little piece.
Apostle, one second. Let me fill this
go
last
ahead,
point
go
in.
Ahead.
Let me fill this third point in. And finally, couples out there, when you get fed up, God will fill in. When you get fed up, God will fill in. Some of you are saying, I've had it up to here. I'm done. Some of you are saying, I'm just seconds away. I'm just moments away from divorce court. Some of you are saying, I'm trying to pack up my bags and leave today. And when you get fed up, God will fill in. Don't give up on your marriage. Even though that issue has been pressing, for some of you it's been decades. For some of you it's been years. For some of you, your husband can't get it through his thick head. Your wife still got all that mouth. And no matter what I do, the situation will not change. I'm fed up. And when you get to that point, God will fill in. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. He says, Paul says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. So when husband, wife, when you're at your wit's end, that's when God's going to step in. Hallelujah. So don't give up on your marriage. Don't give up on that husband. Don't give up on that wife because God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can think, ask, or imagine. So I pray that this encourages somebody today because my wife and I know a lot of couples that are going through. We know some who have separated for a season. We know some that's going through, and it seems like the issues that they're dealing with will not go away, and they've had it. But I'm here to tell you to hang in there, church. Hang in there, husband. Hang in there, wife. The enemy is against family. He's against marriage. He's against the home of God. He's against the people of God. And know that your real enemy, the spiritual warfare, is from the devil, Satan, your adversary, your enemy, Lucifer, the one who wants to destroy you and the plans of God for your life. So God sent you that husband. He sent you that wife. So hang in there until he restores the fire of love towards one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
My God. Hallelujah. I'm going to let you in there, Apostle Amica. I just want to praise God for Pastor Anthony and that marriage moment and invite you all to come out this evening from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. We'll be doing a Making Marriage Work God's Way seminar, which is the title of our book that's going to be coming out this year. But the seminar is going to be this evening, 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock, right here in Belleville, New Jersey. So join us as we facilitate a marriage seminar at the New Life Body of Christ International Church at 393 Washington Avenue. That's 393 Washington Avenue in Belleville, New Jersey. That's from 6 o'clock until 8 o'clock. And Pastor Emily and I, we're going to be up there for 2 hours.
pouring into marriage. So if you're married or you know somebody that needs to get there, give them this information. It's from 6 o'clock p.m. until 8 o'clock p.m. Again, that's the New Life Body of Christ International, 393 Washington Avenue, Belleville, New Jersey. Pastor Jones is the pastor over there. He and his wife, they invited us in. They said, our marriages in this church, we're having some trouble, and we want you guys to come. And we're outsourcing. We want you, the experts, to come and pour into marriage. And that's what we're going to be doing. And we're excited about it. There's no cost for this seminar. So come on over to Belleville, New Jersey this evening. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Emily, that was powerful. And I'm going to let Pastor Amaker get a piece of that. And then anybody else who wants to comment or call, you can. 646-652-4832. Apostle Amaker, go ahead, sir. I know you're ready.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. The scripture that Pastor Anthony read, God told Paul, says, my grace is sufficient for you. Now watch what Pastor Anthony just said and what the scripture is telling us. In our marriages, like you said, there's stuff that happens, you're like, I'm done. I can't take it no more. In my personal marriage, my wife is not too far from me. So I have to be, choose my words wisely. But in our marriage, and a lot of times things would arise, and she would address a certain issue, and in her addressing it would like, oh, here we go, this is it. And so the Lord said, don't say nothing. I said, what? You heard what she said? He said, yeah, but I told you, don't say nothing. Believe
wow.
me, it took a lot of doing, but I began to overcome. It was a while. It took a while. I'm going to be honest. It took about 3 or 5 years for me to bring myself under subjection where the Lord was saying, don't say nothing, because we are naturally defenders of our territory. We're naturally responders to negativity or whatever, naturally as people. Society tells you, don't let them walk over you. Don't let them, that show that you ain't, you know. And so the Lord said, I told you, don't say nothing. And
wow.
After a while, this is where the grace is sufficient for you. After a while, and to today, she still does the same thing and say and what have you, but the effect that it has on me is not the same. When it used to make me upset, now it don't upset me no more. When I used to respond negatively, now I don't respond to it no more. So when God says, my grace is sufficient for you, that's what he's saying. Yes, they're going to keep doing the same thing, but the way you respond to it, now it's going to be different. That's God's grace in this area for us. And so that's what we have to overcome, where we have to overcome. People are going to still do the same thing. But the way that you respond, the way that it affects you, is what God wants to change.
Wow. Pastor Anthony?
That's powerful, and I didn't get to the final thing that was in my spirit. And it pretty much is possibly God is trying to change you.
There you go.
We're looking at that pressing issue, and God looked like no matter what I say is not getting through, and sometimes Apostle God is working on us. I was the same way early on in my marriage. My wife would tell you, I would defend my issue. I had a spirit of offense. Not that I couldn't be told nothing, or I didn't feel as though I was right all the time, but I would get on a defensive right away, and God had to deal with me on that. And some couples out there, God is working on characteristics and personalities issues and baggage and luggage that we brought into the marriage. And God is saying, I'm trying to surgically get this thing up out of you. See, because
yes.
you're prideful, you're arrogant, you're too confident. I need to take it down a notch. And sometimes we marry somebody that's not as spiritual, or we marry somebody and maybe they're not where we think they should be spiritually or even naturally. And God is saying, I still joined you two together, and what I joined together, let no man put us under. So until we catch up with each other and become that one flesh, God continues to work on us individually.
That's it. Stop asking God to take you out of what he clearly put you into. As Pastor Anthony just said, he's trying to work in you. You pointing your finger at the other person, but God says, I'm trying to take you to a place. I'm trying to get you somewhere. And so, as he said, I put you in a furnace of affliction so that you can be matured and made meet for the master's use. And also, like I said so many times, we say, Lord, get me out of this. He said, no, I put you in. Now, stop asking me to take you out and start asking me, what is it here that you're trying to teach me? What is it here that you want me to learn from this? What is it in this that you want me to see? That's what our prayer should be. Not get me out. Stop praying and telling God to get me out. He put you in it. It's his divine purpose. It's his grand design that you're here. You married the right person. At least that's what you told us.
Wow. You
got up and said she's the right one.
Amen. Apostle, they said I do. You can't take that back.
That's right. That's right. To death do us part. And let me say this. Let me throw this in. And like Pastor Andrew said, whom God joined together, let no man put asunder. If God joined you together, you said this is God. Don't tell me God changed his mind 6 weeks down the road, 6 months down the road. You were with the wrong one.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That is really good. I realized the same thing. My testimony is just like yours, Apostle, that God used my marriage to change me. You know, there were things that I wanted him to change about my husband. Once we got married, I began to cry to God about my husband and about my children, because we have a blended family, and we were having a hard time making that thing blend. And God was like, no, it's not you that I want to change. It's not Pastor Anthony. It's not Anthony that I want to change. It's not Justin and Marcus. It's not Hakita. Those are our children. But it's you. It's you. God brought me to it so that he could bring me through it and when I came out of it so that I would come out different. See, God has a purpose in the middle of all things. Romans 8:28, in the middle of all things, God's working things out for our good.
Sure.
He's working things together. He's putting and piecing things together, bringing people into your life. So often we, like you said, we want God to remove people from our lives, or we want to divorce our spouses, or we want to, you know, just get removed from the situation. But God is saying, no, I put you here, like Pastor Anthony said, like the scripture said, because my grace is sufficient for you in this situation. I'm going to empower you in the middle of this situation. I'm going to change you. I'm going to, you're on the Potter's wheel. You're on the Potter's wheel in the middle of this marriage. And God knows exactly what he's doing in the middle of that union. He knows why he allowed you, even if you married what you consider to be the wrong person, God knows why he allowed you to go forward and marry that person, you know, to give you that permission to go ahead and marry what you knew you were going to be unequally yoked anyway. But God said, even in that, I can do some things in your life and get the glory out of your life. So I just thank God that he's always at work in our lives, even in our marriages, and that he's constantly changing us. Because even when we think we've arrived, like now, Pastor Amica, you and I think, God, tell your wife, we said a good God bless you. Amen. I heard you say she's not far from you. I'll give her our greetings and our love.
Pastor Rebecca says hello, and she sends out their love from New Jersey. She says she's responding hello.
Amen. Hallelujah. So even now, Apostle Amica, Pastor Anthony, we are right here where we are. For some who've been married shorter or longer, we've been married 15, 16 years, and guess what? We still have to go back to the altar and repent and say, God, I'm sorry, and back to our spouse and say, honey, I'm sorry.
And keep doing it. And keep doing it. And keep doing it. I've learned to repent when I was right.
That's good.
I was right, but I had to say, I'm sorry, baby. Baby, for peace sake, so that the devil will not come in any further. No, I'm going to close that door. Honey, hey, watch this. I am the man. I am the man. I'm not a wuss. I'm not soft. I am the man. So that means the man has to man up even when you write and say, baby, for peace sake, we're not going to let this keep going. I'm not going to let the devil get in between us or get in this place with us, and we're going to shut it down. We're going to shut the devil down right here. We're going to shut it down, and we're going to give God the glory. We're going to go back to loving and being living in peace with each other and give him no praise. The Bible says give him no praise. Give him no praise. You go into bed angry and getting up angry and not talking, you're giving place to the devil. Right now you're separating yourselves.
Wow.
You're separating yourself right now. So then separation, everything starts from a seed. Everything starts from a seed. So one night my wife said, I'm going in the other room and sleep. Okay? All right. I'm going in the other bedroom and I'm asleep. I said, okay. So I went back to my bedroom, got my pillow, came back and got in the bed with her. She said, I thought, yeah, but no, we're not separated. I'm not letting the devil come in and separate us. I don't believe in separation. I don't believe in it. I do believe, okay, sometimes stuff might get a little heated that one of us need to take a walk. But I don't believe in, you moving out, I'm moving out, you go live over here, you go live over there. No, I don't believe in that. I don't believe in that. The Bible does not tell us to do that.
Right, the Bible tells us. Yeah, it tells us not to. Right. But you know, you said something good. You said you're embracing the devil. I caught that. And I thought about that. When we are sleeping, like one person on one side of the bed and the other person on the other side of the bed, and we are sleeping in anger, then what we're doing is we're cuddling up with the devil all night long.
There you go. You're giving him that.
My God. And it doesn't feel good. Can you imagine how the devil torments you? That the God says, I'll give you over to the tormentor. You imagine how the devil torments us? When we hold on to anger, when we hold on to bitterness, that feeling, your body suffers because your body's braced. You know, you're tense in your body, and you're angry, and it's not a good feeling when you're cuddling up with the devil, when you're embracing the devil. But when we turn away from the devil, turn away from anger, turn away from bitterness, and begin to forgive and say, let's make peace, be a peacemaker, you turn back to God, and he gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding. He gives you that overwhelming sense of joy. He gives you that time of refreshing that's to be found in his presence. You know, so you will always know when you're embracing the devil because it never feels good. When you're in a relationship and you harden your heart, you'll know when you that's the devil. You hugging the devil. You're giving the devil a good hug right now. And that's good. I love that analogy, embracing the devil. That was good.
The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. It tells us to listen to the devil and he'll flee. It says resist him. You can't think about two things at the same time. And so while you on your side of the bed and she's on her side of the bed, he's talking. And he ain't lying all the time. He's telling you, he could have, he's telling you. And you sitting there feeding into it. You're opening your ears to him. Now you're opening your attention to him. And so he say, oh, I got one. We got one, boys, because he's listening. He's paying attention to what we're saying. And you can't, God is not going to move in that. God, you can't use the devil's voice and tactics and expect God to come through for you. You got to, you say, resist, rebuke the devil. No, in the name of Jesus, I come against that. Casting down every thought and imagination that would bring yourself opposing the knowledge of God. I'm paraphrasing the scripture, but we got to do that. We got to do that. No, I ain't gonna sit here and listen to that. No, you can't turn over on the other side, and this is no, turn over. Stop. Okay. Uh oh. Stop. Instead of stop sleeping with your back to your wife, turn over and sleep with your face to your wife and say, "Here, we're still one. We're one. He's not going to divide us. Divide and conquer. That's what a lot of marriages has allowed the devil to do. Divide. You start thinking your way, and she started thinking her way, and now he has driven a wedge in between y'all, and you have again embraced that wedge. You embrace the wedge. You let him separate us.
Wow. Amen, honey.
Yeah, I'm so blessed. It's, you know, this is ministry. This is healing. This is restoration. It's nothing like the word of God, and he gives us his word to minister to us in the times in which we're living. There's so much about the culture, so much about the days in which we're living in, that marriage is not being honored. So husbands and wives are facing so much. Just as Pastor Amica said, just to stay together and keep peace in your home. So I just thank God for your obedient spirit to bring this to the airways, because we know it's some people going through in other states other than New Jersey in their marriages, but they can tune into the archives and even right now to this live broadcast and just be encouraged. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah, amen. And you still have time to call in. We have 10 more minutes on the air, 11 minutes, 646-652-4832. Call us and let your voice be heard. We want to hear from you and hear what the Lord is saying to you, even during these marriage moments or anything that was said during the whole hour, 2 hours that we've been on the air. As we wrap up 10 minutes, it's amazing how fast the time goes once we start flowing. But we want you to know you can always call in. If you need prayer, even for your marriage or for any situation in your life, again, we're here and we're here to pray with you. And, you know, just to share some place to let your voice be heard or to get advice. Maybe you need counsel in a situation in your marriage. Just give us a call and we'll be happy to talk to you on today. Amen. 646-652-4832. Amen. Hallelujah. So in this last 10 minutes, I tell you, God has just moved so mightily. We had some warfare around the broadcast today, but I think a huge part of that is because God wanted to speak, and God is speaking even pertaining to our marriages and even to what's going on in the church, that God wants to get his house in order. You know, it's time to get the house of the Lord in order. We put our agenda above God's agenda, and God is saying that is not his intention. He still is God, and we need to put God back on the throne in his church and allow him to dictate how things are going to go in the house of the Lord. And for the sake of those who are coming in, listen, this Apostle Amica, you said that this is harvest time, and there are souls coming into the church now. And if we're all messed up inside the walls of the church, we're going to run them right back out. So we have to be in a position where we're not hurting in our heart, and we're not bitter, and we haven't allowed and we're not embracing the devil, even as individuals, because as individuals we can neglect to resist the devil and find ourselves playing right into the devil's hands and being an obstacle to or a stumbling block to those who really want the true God. This is a time when people are looking for the one true God. They're tired of pipes. They're tired of nonsense. They want God. They need the power of God. People need the power of God in their lives. So we have to get our house in order. The church has to get in order so that we can begin to joyfully embrace those who are coming in off a crack, who are coming in from the gangs, who are coming in from the strip joint, who are coming in off the street. My God, they have to look at the church and see it as a welcoming place where they can come and get salvation for their souls and get the answers to the problems that they're facing in their life, to get the power of God that's been made available to all who believe. So it's been powerful, and I know why the warfare came, because you guys have been speaking, and God has been speaking all day long through this broadcast.
God is getting the church ready.
Yeah.
Ready for the harvest.
Yeah.
We're the laborers of the harvest. And Jesus said, go and bear fruit. And that same scripture you was reading earlier about the seed. He said, go and bear fruit.
Yeah.
And watch this, not just bear fruit, but good fruit. And then, too, past that your fruit may remain. We don't need folk coming in church getting saved today and then going back out in the street next week. We need to come, get saved, and let the Lord finish the work that he started in their life. We all started somewhere. And that's another thing. You don't forget from where God brought you from. I was a mess. I'm telling you,
me
he brought me a mighty long way. I was a mess. And now, James Cleveland sang a song all years ago. Says he took me and made something beautiful out of my life.
He took
a wretch like me and showed me the loving light. And here I am. Because what God has done for me, and then we can go back and tell somebody, say, look, because again, and I strongly stress this. I was talking about this young lady earlier. That young lady walked in with issues. She has issues. And we have to minister to these people, because they're not just bringing their soul, they're bringing their issues. And we have to, as Pastor Rebecca just said, we have to be able to minister to their issues. What can God do for me and my issues? They don't know to lay aside every weight. So we have to walk them through that process. It's a process. Don't forget the process. It's all a process. It's a process in my life, so it's going to be a process in your life. And it ain't going to just blink and go away all at one time. No, it's a process. Bless you. God bless you. Thank you, Pastor Anthony, Pastor Rebecca.
God bless you, Apostle.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're 5 minutes away, and the Apostle came in and he spoke mightily, the heart of God. He's in revival, and Apostle, may the Lord continue to add souls as you go. Amen. That there are many souls being saved as a result of your obedience, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. And like you said, it's harvest time, and the Lord is using all who are willing to go out and preach this gospel. You don't need a title to save souls. Amen. But those of us who do hold the title, even the more so, we have to be out there and make sure that, again, let God heal you. Let God heal you. Let's not seek what's in his hand, but let us seek the face of God and allow God to really heal us so that we can go forth. Don't settle for where you are right now. Even if you've come a long way, let God finish his work. Continue to let God to have his hand on your life and continue to mold and shape you into all that he's created you to be. God's not finished with you yet. Your journey is really just beginning. You're in the middle of it. And God still has so far that he wants to take you. So allow God to take that bitterness out of your heart. Allow him to take the fear away. Allow God to increase your faith, because there's some powerful things that God wants to do through us. But let me say, when you get a word like that, that God wants to do something powerful through you, don't look for the work. Don't look for the acclaim. Don't look for the fame. Don't look for what God wants to do for you and through you. Look for God. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And look for God and watch him move in your life. As you follow the cloud. Follow the cloud by day and the fire by night. Follow the prompting of the Holy Ghost and watch God move in your life. Don't look for the stuff that he's promised you, but look for the promise keeper. Amen. And look for the promise maker. Look for the Father. We need to see Jesus. We shall see him face to face. And we need to see him in the land of the living right here while we're on this earth. So I challenge you to tighten up your relationship with God through Christ, through the Holy Ghost. Tighten up your relationship with God so that he can help you with your relationship with folk. Amen. And in this last 3 minutes, I'm going to give it over to the men. We haven't had any more callers, so Pastor Anthony, Apostle Amaker, I'm going to let you two make any closing remarks, and then we've got to go down from this place as we prepare to minister tonight in Belleville at the marriage seminar. Apostle Amaker.
I'm here. I'm listening. I'm here.
I don't know if you had anything to say in closing.
Yeah, you can make it. You can make it. You're going to make it. We're touching and agreeing with you right now to those marriages that are going through the season of trial and making. Experience is what makes you. When you have experienced things together, that's what I met a young man and his wife, and he told me, he said, see that young lady over there? I said, yes, sir. He said, we've been married 64 years. He said, and we still have our arguments, but we stayed together. We stayed together. Al Green said, loving you, whether, let's stay together. Through the good or the bad, through the happy or the sad, we're here to stay together. Finally, divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option. Divorce is not an option, especially if you say God joined you together. This is whom God told you was your wife or your husband. Then divorce is not an option. God bless you.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. Pastor Anthony?
Amen. Just, you know, the proverb writer said, your gifts will make room for you and put you before great men. As you just said, when God gives someone a prophetic word, don't allow it to happen on your time schedule, but let God do it. Me and my wife are about to do this afternoon, we sat in a marriage retreat a long time ago, and they've ministered that somebody will be doing what we're doing. They were professional counselors on marriage.
Wow.
We had no idea, but my wife and I, after leaving that retreat, we knew that's what we'll be doing someday because it was a check mark in our spirit way before the pastorate, way before we were doing the things that we do today. So be patient with God, even if you get a prophetic utterance, and let God do it and not your own will. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Wow, baby, I forgot about that. That was the Walkers, right?
Yeah, you talk about maybe over 15 years ago.
Wow. And they said one day some of you are going to be doing exactly what we do. And we were at the cathedral at a marriage retreat. Wow. Wow. And look at God. My God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Wow. Yeah. So
in
that's a word.
In waiting on God, quickly, I just want to say, not to stop you, but in waiting on God, don't let time become your enemy. Thank you.
Oh, my God. My God, that's good, because like Pastor Anthony said, that was over 15 years ago. We had just gotten married. And look at it, and we both, Jayola Walker, that was Dr. Clarence and Jayola Walker. They are worldwide marriage ministers. They go all over now. They're on Facebook right now, pouring into marriages. Wow. And they spoke that over the group, and we grabbed it. Sometimes you don't need a personal prophecy. We grabbed that word, and we were like, yeah, and we wasn't for claim or fame, but we wanted to help people. And we just put it, we didn't even think about it. We just kept moving forward, and look what God has done all these years later. Don't let time become your enemy, like Apostle said. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Wow. Well, we're out of here. We got to get up out of here. We invite you to come over to the church tomorrow, New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. God bless you, Apostle Amica. Have a blessed day. Amen. Amen.
Sure.
Hallelujah. And our service starts at 11 o'clock a.m. That's 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. Apostle, where's your revival? Where is the revival being held for those who are listening in that area?
We just closed out. We just closed out the other night, Thursday night. The Lord arranged it so that we will close out on that night because we didn't know that the apostle's aunt was going to die. And that they would need to go to, so we closed out Thursday night. We just closed out. Hopefully, I got a couple of days of rest. They just called me yesterday and want me to come to the church tomorrow down in Davie, Florida. So just keep us in prayer. Just keep us in prayer that the Lord continues to strengthen us as we minister.
Amen. Hallelujah. We sure will. Lord, continue to strengthen Apostle Amica and his wife, even as the Lord uses them mightily, oh God, even as they go.
She's preaching this afternoon.
Open door. She's preaching this afternoon.
She's speaking this afternoon at a women's appreciation, so that's what she's getting. We're getting ready to get up out of here, too, making preparation to go. She's writing her notes now, so.
Amen. So Lord, use the woman of God mightily on this afternoon. We thank you for every open door that you present before this couple as they are sold out for you, O God. Use them mightily for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going down from here. It's 303. And we invite you to come out to New Creation Christian Ministries, 87 First Street, Elizabeth, New Jersey. If you don't have a pastor or a church home, we would love to be your pastors. We have a wonderful family over there. And also listen to our virtual service every Wednesday at 12 noon Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. .com/power. Our prayer is Tuesday night, corporate prayer Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m., 7:30 to 8:30, 1 hour of power. And then you can come on Wednesday, amen, to our Bible study at the location in 87 First Street at 7:30 p.m. Listen, I hope to see you. Connect with me on Facebook and like us on Facebook, New Creation Christian Ministries. God bless you. It's 3:04, and we're going to go out letting God know that he's awesome. Fred Hammond, go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen. Love you, Kathy and Ray Jones. God bless you. Have a blessed day.
All right, y'all know what time it is. Y'all might as well. Listen up, let me tell everybody about my God.